Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. In verse 1, to everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. We read this passage and it's almost used like a feel-good passage. It's really not supposed to be just a feel-good passage. It says there's a time to be born, there's a time to die. Why? Because for everything there's a season. God has a season for everything. We have to understand this. God controls our lives. God is in charge of our lives. And don't be surprised what happens in your life. All things are from God in Ephesians 5:18. Yet we're surprised when challenges come or sickness or hardship. And then it's challenging to us to believe that all things really are from God. We ask ourselves, how can this be from God? But God says to everything, how many things? Everything. To everything there is a season. If God doesn't allow it, it doesn't happen. Simple as that. If God doesn't allow it, it doesn't happen. What is it that challenged you? God allowed it. What warfare in the kingdom realm have you faced? What accusations, for example, that's a part of kingdom warfare. What happened to you? God allowed it. Sometimes we're so tempted to try to manhandle things, to fight back, get the bull by the horns, and work our will. It's not how it works with God. God says, for everything in your life, there is a season. That includes every time and purpose under heaven, including a time to be born and a time to die. By the way, you cannot die until God says now. I don't care what the means of death is, you cannot die until God says now. Period. If somebody, God forbid, tries to harm you and kill you, unless God says now, it's not going to happen. There's plenty of situations with somebody trying to harm another person and they could not do it. Why? God said no. This is one of the reasons why we never have to fight back. All the political rancor in the country right now, we have to, as Christians, be careful. You don't fight back at it. We don't fight with those kind of means. Our most powerful tool is prayer. So when we see something we don't like, we don't even have to go out and protest. Yes, I know in the United States we have the right to protest. I'm personally not in favor of protests because it just adds to the rancor. I say, if you don't like something, pray. Because prayer is the most powerful force that exists that is available to us. Prayer moves the hand of God. Matthew 7:7, pray and you shall receive. If you ask, believing, you can move mountains. All you need is the faith of a mustard seed. That's a faith that is alive and growing. You can move mountains, and people say, oh, I don't know about moving a mountain. Well, there's your faith, isn't there? It's the most powerful force that exists, prayer. There's no earthly weapon, no bomb, no gun, no airplane, no ship, no nothing that is as powerful as prayer. None of those things can move God's hand, but God's hand can stop every single one of them with no problem. So we don't go down that road ever because it's not God's road. That's not the way things work in the kingdom of God. That's not how we as Christians respond. We respond with things that make a difference. We respond in genuine power. The kingdom of God is not in word only, but in power. And the kingdom of God has all power. Jesus said, all power has been given unto me. Well, he had the power to create everything from nothing. He was the source of all things. That's power. So when you pray, you tap in to God's power. Your prayer is so powerful, it literally moves the hand of the Creator of the entire universe. Let that sink in. Think about that a while. Those people who think that prayer doesn't work, you don't know what you're talking about. Prayer is the single most powerful force that exists that's available to humans. Nothing is more powerful. No politician, no weapon, nothing. Not like prayer. That's why certain governments in the world are afraid of prayer. There is a person that was reported on the news. Now, fortunately, this person was exonerated. But in England, this person was praying silently in front of an abortion clinic, got arrested for praying silently in front of an abortion clinic. You think they knew the power of prayer? You think they were intimidated by it? You better believe it. The unbelievers had more trust in prayer than the believers. Sometimes that happens. They're praying for Peter to get out of jail. Peter gets out of jail. They don't believe it. Prayer is intensely powerful. It can do absolutely anything. How do I tap into prayer? John 15:7. Keep yourself in the love of God. Keep the Word of God in your frame of reference, and whatever you ask will be done for you. If you are one of those people who say, I don't know about prayer, it hasn't worked for me, have you kept yourself in the love of God and have you kept the Word of God in your frame of reference? I guarantee you, you didn't. How do I know? Because you'd never say that if you did. Anything will be done for the believer who prays, who has kept themselves in the love of God and the Word of God in their frame of reference. That's power. So when God says there's a season for everything and a time for every purpose, don't think, oh, well, it's just kind of laissez-faire, it just kind of happens. Not at all. It's all part of the plan of God. A time for every what? Purpose. That means it came from God. There's a time to be born and there's a time to die. Yeah. David said, teach me to number my days. There is a time to die. Let me use my days wisely. There's a time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to gain and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to sow. A time to keep silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. Now, how do you know what time it is? Wisdom. Wisdom tells you what time it is. Do I say something or not? Wisdom. You turn to wisdom. Should I go there or should I not? Wisdom. Should I fight or should I not fight? Wisdom. Should I laugh or should I weep? Wisdom. You want to know what time it is? You turn to wisdom. What is wisdom? Wisdom is the skillful application of doctrine. The Word of God and the nature of God will tell you what time it is. Now, Jesus, for example, told us to discern the signs of the times, especially regarding the end times. We are in the end times now. Now, he told us that no one knows when the events of the end times will take place. When does the rapture take place, for example? Nobody knows that. But we do know the signs of the times, and we are told to know the proximity by the signs of the times. How do we know the proximity? Wisdom. Doctrine tells us the proximity of the time, what to look for. When we find it in the world, we know we are there. Wisdom. Using the Word of God gives you wisdom. Now here's the thing about that. I cannot use the Word of God well if I don't know the nature of God and if I don't have God's perspective. The Holy Spirit gives you God's perspective and He reveals God's nature. The events of my life are there for that purpose, to give me perspective and to give me God's nature. I can have the Word of God, but if I don't have the right perspective regarding the Word of God, and if I don't have God's nature utilizing the Word of God, it's not really going to be the Word of God. It's just going to be the letter of the Word, but not the actual Word. In verse 11 of Ecclesiastes 3, the Word of God says He makes everything beautiful in its time. But that's not in a vacuum. Then it says He has put eternity into man's heart, yet so he cannot find out what God has done from beginning to end. I can't understand what God is doing without an eternal perspective. That eternal perspective is given to me by the Holy Spirit as He's guiding me in all truth and developing His fruit, the nature of God, in my life. And when that is present, then I will see that God is making everything beautiful in its time. Then it continues in verse 12, I perceive that there is nothing better for them than to be joyful and to do good as long as they live. What is good? It's God's nature. Do according to God's nature as long as they live. Please remember this. No matter what season you're encountering, whether it's a season of laughter or a season of weeping, whether you're gathering or whether you're scattering, no matter what season you're living in, Psalm 31:15 says, my times are in God's hands. Your times are in God's hands. The steps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. Your times are in God's hands. This is necessarily so. You can't change that. And the reason is because you have time. Now the unbeliever, their times are not in God's hands because they have no time. Let me explain what I mean by that. Whatever is not of faith is sin. Romans 14:23. The unbeliever never exercised faith toward Christ, so that person's entire life is categorized as sin. Doesn't mean they're wicked. Doesn't mean they're not a nice guy. It just means they never exercised faith toward Christ. That, by definition, means their entire life was one of sin, not of faith. In 1 John 1:7, whatever is not of faith, being sin, all sin is removed from time. In Psalm 103:12, that shows it's removed from time. It says, as far as the east is from the west. Remember, a geographic reference, a space reference, is the same as a time reference. And so God removes sin by His blood from time. God removes whatever is not of faith from time. Jesus said in Matthew 7:23, using a time reference, I never knew you regarding the unbeliever. He didn't know them in time. 1 John 3:20, He knows all things. Therefore, they have no time. The blood removes them from time. It's really kind of a dreadful thought if you think about it in a way, because they were intended to have time. But their entire life being sin, the blood removed it from time. But they were intended to have time. Their times are not in God's hands because they have no time. So only the born-again believer. I know it sounds rough, doesn't it? But it's true. Why is it true? Because no one has an excuse. Christ died for the sins of the whole world. Whosoever will could come to Him if they would simply humble themselves and do it. There are those that do, and there are those that don't. My times as a believer, because only a believer has time, they're in God's hands. What happened to Charlie Kirk could not happen if God didn't say no. Now, Jesus did say that the offense must come, but woe to the person by whom it comes. When he was talking about Judas, it would have been better for him if he was never born. But still, it was within the purposes of God. The tool isn't the issue. The purpose is. My times are in God's hands. What happened to you, positive or negative, what happened to you? It's in God's hands. Because there is a time for every purpose under heaven, and only God can define purpose. So it was in God's hands. I had a good day, that was from God. I had a bad day, that too was from God. They loved me, that was from God. They hated me, that too was from God. I was accepted, that's from God. I was rejected, that also is from God. 2 Corinthians 5:18, it's all from God. Why? Because I've been reconciled to Him. You can't separate us from God. We've been reconciled to God, so of course everything is from Him. But more than that, in Ephesians 1:4, God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of His will. Therefore, in 2 Corinthians 4:15, all things are for your sake. The purpose of God is for your sake. The times that are taking place, they're all for your sake. Somehow or another, even the chaos in the world right now, that is for your sake. All things. Maybe it's there to bring you to Christ. Maybe it's there to bring you closer to Him. Maybe it's there to get you to pray. Whatever it is, it's all for your sake. Sometimes people deal with difficult health issues. I've never seen people get closer to Christ faster than when their health starts to be really bad. Then all the obstacles fall away and they draw near like never before. That too is from God. God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. Now that does necessarily mean in Revelation 13:8, before the Lamb was slain. The slain Lamb in that passage is the structural foundation of the world, apokatabolis, the laying down of a structural foundation. Before that happened, He chose us. Why was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world? Why was this the foundation? This is the reason in Ephesians 1:4. He chose us prior to the Lamb being slain. He chose us. The Lamb was slain because He chose us. He wanted that relationship with us. He wanted that Ephesians 2:15 and 16 oneness with us. He wanted us to be reconciled to Him. Reconciled to Him is not simply being brought back to Him. Reconciled to Him, we see it in the Scriptures, line upon line, precept upon... We see it in the Scriptures, line upon line, precept upon precept. Especially when you add in verses like Ephesians 2:15 and 16, like Romans 5:8 in the original language, not the way that it's mistranslated so often. That He wanted oneness with us. That was the purpose. But how's He going to do that? There is only one God. Well, He found a plan. He found a purpose. And everything that happens, every season that comes into our lives is a part of that purpose. And it was chosen. And those events were predestined. Because we are chosen to be adopted, but not just like an earthly, worldly adoption. We're adopted to be one with His Son. And so everything functions for that purpose. That's our times. Our times in His hands means that He's doing everything according to the purpose in our lives. And is there to make us one with Him. Your experience is meant to be the experience of the life of God. Your experience is not meant to be an experience apart from Him. So many people, even believers, have an experience in life that is apart from God. They're trying to get to know a God they think is distant, but He's not distant at all. And they say, okay, He lives inside of me. Yes, He does, but it's more than that even. He is one with you. You are His body. He's one with you. In verse 14 of Ephesians chapter 3, I perceived that whatever God does endures forever. Nothing can be added to it nor taken from it. It endures forever. This is how it works. The Lamb was slain. This was the structural foundation of the universe. What came next? First came Ephesians 1:4. Then the Lamb was slain to be the structural foundation of the universe. What came next? Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, and now it's talking about time. God created the heavens and the earth. This happened on the very first day. Now, the words first day there in Genesis 1 are different than the other days when it's a second day, third day, fourth day, so on. Second day, third day, fourth day, and so on are all ordinal numbers, but the first day, that's a cardinal number. That means the very first in the series. So the very first day in the universe was the day that God created the universe. Now it says He created the heavens and the earth. That word heavens is plural. It doesn't say heaven, it says heavens. That was the beginning of all creation. It was also the creation of time. Now, when God created time, He created it differently than we perceive it. The works were finished from the foundation of the world, Hebrews 4:3. When God created time, He created all of time. We don't experience it that way, but we have a very small frame of reference. He created the beginning and the end. He created every point in between. And he populated all of time with his purpose. Einstein showed us that all points of time exist simultaneously. When he created one day, he created all days. We don't experience it that way because we're a part of that creation. But remember, God is outside of time, looking at time. So he can see all of it simultaneously. Because it's all there simultaneously. The structural foundation was the slain lamb. You could say in this way that the cross was the center point of the universe and of time. And when God unrolled the universe, he unrolled time and he unrolled it like a scroll. It does move in more than one direction. And physicists have seen this. They've actually managed to change the past from the present in the laboratory. The first time they did this was in 1940s. It's been a little while. All of it exists now. All of it was created. All of it was created with the purpose of your oneness with him. What's the moment that you're living in or living for? What is it that's going on in your life? It was created in the beginning. And though you are just now coming into the experience of it, it's been there waiting for you. All of our decisions, all of it. Now here's the thing about that. What God created was purpose. But that was part of the foundation that he built it on. So what did God actually create? And this is going to blow some people's minds, I know. He created now. What does that mean? How is it that we can see planets being formed when all the planets and stars were formed on the fourth day? We don't see it everywhere. We only see it in certain specific places. Because that's where the fourth day is, now. We're not looking at light coming from those objects as it appeared thousands of years ago and finally reaching us. That's not how light travels. Space collapses with velocity. Light doesn't travel billions of light years. Light travels short distances as space collapses. Because of its velocity. The fourth day is now. The first day is now. Days yet to come are all now. It all exists simultaneously. So what is coming into creation? You see, here's the thing. People will say, well, then predestination, okay, God created everything, where's my choices? The choices are the creation event. We're still in the beginning, as well as in the end, as well as at every point in between. Just your portion of time and everybody else's is being created now. Yet the now is eternal. Somebody who lived 2,500 years ago is just as much affecting right now as we are, except not in our area of space and time, but in theirs. But it still exists. Not in our experience, but in time as God sees it. That's why I always say, time is not a line being drawn. Time is more like a wave washing up on shore. all of it washes up simultaneously. And your little part of that wave is what you're creating. Because we are still in that sense at the beginning. So what he's saying is, what did he create in the foundation of the world? What was that about? That was the purpose. That was the oneness. That was the plan. That was where we became one with the Creator. And all those times and all those events that are in His hands, while His hands were on the cross with nails through them, all those things were represented at the cross. They were all found there. And that was the foundation. So it's not so much that I'm experiencing something. It's that it was purposed. And now we're going through in the beginning still. Just our part of it. And it's all still there. Every purpose under heaven is all still there. Every moment of your life, it was all purposed. And yes, your decisions make a difference because you're participating in your part of creation. But the purpose was all there. And the whole universe was established on it. When Jesus said in John 19:30, it is finished, it really was. But he said it before the world began. Whatever God does endures forever. Nothing can be added to it, nothing taken away from it. God has done it so that people fear before Him that which is already has been, that which is to be already has been. And God seeks what has been driven away. What's been driven away? That which is and that which is to come has already been. That means relativity. Einstein, all points of time exist simultaneously. But what's been driven away? Sin. Unbelief. Taken out of time. And God seeks that. In Luke 19:30, the Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost. God seeks that. Time was built on our union to Christ. And therefore all time is for that purpose. And that which is lost, God's looking to redeem it. He's looking to buy it back, to find it, and to bring it to Himself. That person who doesn't at the moment even exist in time, God's looking for him. In Isaiah 46:10, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, I will do all my good pleasure. Love designed a purpose for your life and made a provision, and that purpose and provision are found in our at-one-ment with Christ. The atonement is the at-one-ment. One with Christ on the cross is where you find every purpose and every solution and every provision. One with Christ at the cross. This is what the universe was built on. Do you know why a tree exists? You might not be able to draw the connection. But it exists for the purpose of your oneness with Christ. Whether you can draw the connection or not. In Ephesians 1:11, in Him we have also obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. From beginning to end. Romans 8:28 and 29 tells us what that means. That all things work together for good to whom? to them that love God and are called according to His purpose. Well, if you love God, you're saved. If you're called according to His purpose, you're saved. And what is that purpose? To be conformed to the image of His Son. Why does God want me conformed to His image? Why are all my times which are in His hand for that one purpose? So that He could be one with you. So that He could have that relationship with you. Remember, when the Word of God says that it was not good for the man to be alone, in Genesis chapter 2, Adam is a type for Christ. That's why marriage is an example of the relationship between God and us. Adam is a type for Christ. What he's saying, it was not good for God to be alone. But there could be no other one. So here's the purpose. That God would have someone to manifest His love to. And that's what we're here for. That God would have someone to manifest His love to. That was the purpose. Do you want to know if God loves you? So many people say, I don't know God loves me. You're here. There's the evidence. That's it. You're here. There's the evidence. There's nothing unexpected with God. Every moment is filled with purpose. Every moment is filled with meaning. Don't ever tell yourself any different. It's not true. It is absolute that every moment is filled with purpose and every moment is filled with meaning. We've been saved and we've been called with a holy calling. He's the one who called us. Now in Ephesians 5:15, because of this value of time, the Word of God says there, watch how carefully you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise ones. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. What does it mean to redeem the time? To buy it back. Buy the time back. How do I buy the time back? The Word of God, producing faith in you in Romans 10:17. Whatever is not of faith is sin. But when my faith is produced by the Word of God, that's not sin. The blood will never remove that. I bought that back. Every time I build my faith through the Word of God and the love of God, I gotta have the love of God because that makes my faith energized in Galatians 5:6. So I draw near to the love of God, I draw near to the Word of God, and I'm buying the time back. I'm led in all truth by the Holy Spirit as I'm walking from faith to faith in Romans 1:17. I'm buying the time back. Buy your time back. You will, at the Bema Seat, be rewarded, but you can only be rewarded for what is. You cannot be rewarded for what is not. At the Bema Seat, which is the judgment seat of Christ for believers to receive their rewards, God will give you according to the time that you have purchased back, that you have redeemed. So buy back as much of it as you can. When the Word of God says in 1 Corinthians 3 that our rewards are gold, silver, and precious stone, that's faith, redemption, and the fruit of the Holy Spirit. That's buying the time back. He will give you as much as you have bought back. And He'll give you every bit of it. And those are going to be your rewards. So buy them back. Buy your time back. He's given it to you. He's ordained it for you. Now you respond by purchasing it with your faith, drawing near to love, and responding to it. Amen. If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior and you don't know where you're going to go when you die, simply pray, "Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I receive you as my Savior. Thank you for loving me so much that you died for me so I can have eternal life with you. Amen."